support for this podcast and the following message come from GhostFit Apparel. Founded by St. Thomas running back Josh Parks, GhostFit provides sleek and comfortable athletic clothing designed to help people both look and feel good in the gym, at home, or on the go. Browse through a variety of men's t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, and get free shipping with a purchase of $75 now at ghostfit.com.
Welcome to Keep the Ball Rolling, presented by Tommy Media. On today's show, we recap the men's basketball win at U.S. Bank Stadium. We sit down with senior forward Connor Bear to discuss that game and the rest of the season, and we wrap the show with a D3 football playoff update.
Hey everyone, and thank you for joining us on Keep the Ball Rolling, the only show where the producer either A, can see the future, or B, is just significantly more competent with sports and sports betting than either of the hosts. I'm Noah Brown with Brady Haldmeyer and Althea Larson. Althea, you're 5-0. With that win, the men's basketball win at U.S. Bank Stadium over River Falls, you are 5-0 in our bets this season. How do you do it?
Well, if I gave away my secrets, then I would not be the only one. That's 5-0. Come on.
Because like at the when we brought you on as producer, you were after one of the recordings, you're making the comment that you really thought you didn't know much about sports, but evidently that is just plain wrong. I am 3-2, Brady's 2-3, but 5-0. You have secured a win this season for bets. Cuz we've only got one more coming up, so The worst you can do is 5-1 and best either of us can do is 4-2.
Well, now it's the quest for perfection.
Right.
Going
for a perfect 6-0. Well, we'll figure that out in segment 3. We've got some an interesting bet coming up for that one. But first, back to that game, men's basketball. Brady, that was, as much as I wanted to win the bet, I think I preferred seeing an 85-70 win over River Falls. River Falls is no slouch of a basketball team, but that was a really dominating win that the men had at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Yeah, they controlled it from pretty much start to finish. Connor Bear just played excellent. We were going to sit down with him and talk to him a little later, but he is my star of the game. I mean, they were getting the ball inside to him pretty frequently, and he was finishing at the hoop really, really well. I haven't seen him finish like that. I mean, he was fading away and hitting shots from tough angles along the baseline, finishing at the rim and moving the ball pretty well. He had 10 blocks in the defensive end. I mean, just a complete performance from Connor Bear. You look at the freshman point guard, Anders Nelson, he had another 24-point performance. And he looked pretty good. You saw some freshman moments. He had 6 turnovers and a couple of block shots in the lane that were basically turnovers. So some freshman moments from him, but some really exciting stuff to see him put 24 up on a big stage like that.
Yeah, I was driving back from Michigan this weekend when the game happened. I think it was the day after the game. And roads were real bad in Wisconsin, so I stopped off in River Falls to visit one of my high school buddies. I hadn't seen him in like a year. First thing he says to me after, you know, one of my best friends, I haven't seen him, was like, how about that Anders Nelson guy?
Yeah.
Like, he was at the game, was incredibly mad, but even, you know, River Falls people, Wisconsin fans, can understand the talent that the young man has. He is a phenomenal component of this offense, and I really think one of the key components of why the Tommies are off to such a fast start this season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he looked the part. On Friday night, for sure. And it was really a complete performance. Tommy Anderson played pretty well off the bench. Bert Hedstrom had some nice minutes off the bench. And just a dominating performance from start to finish. I mean, it was only we won by 15. But for most of the second half, it was a 10-point game. And River Falls made a few runs down the stretch where they got it, I think, within 6 or 7 points, 5 minutes left. And Anders, I think, was like, he had made all his free throws. And we shot the ball pretty well from the free throw line. And just a very dominating performance from start to finish, you know, taking some runs from River Falls and just being able to respond with a 15-point win. A very, very exciting day for the men's basketball team.
Yeah, and we've talked about it a little bit on this show, but I think one of the biggest questions coming into the season was, how do the Tommies deal with the loss of Ryan Bull? How do you deal with not having our traditional center, your traditional big, who can take up the middle lanes, grab rebounds? And I think we've seen the Tommies have developed a pretty darn good formula for success. Play fast, play quick, get quick turnovers, get down the court as quickly as possible, spread their defense out as thin as possible. And it's worked. 5-1. They're averaging, what, just about 75 points a game or something like that?
I think It's even a little higher. I'll look it up here quick. 85 again.
85. Well, yeah. Misread that. I can count.
I mean, they're holding opponents to right around 70 a game. But, I mean, this is a team that they could score last year. But now this year they're scoring consistently high numbers. I mean, 85 points per game through the first five games is a pretty good start. But they're holding teams in the 70s almost every game or under, which is something that you didn't see last year. I mean, they could score the numbers, but they couldn't always defend teams. And they can do both now. It's a pretty exciting combination.
And you've been to several of these games. I unfortunately haven't been able to make it out to one yet. What's been the key for this defense? How have they been able to perform so well? I mean, the offense, I mean, they've got shooters. They've got mm-hmm. naturally talented shooters who can take it from the perimeter. But this defense, I think that's the most surprising part of it. What are they doing so well?
Well, the biggest thing is you got all five guys defending. I mean, they're a little bit undersized. We'll talk about with Connor. And with him at 6'5 and GT at 6'4, I mean, those are our two biggest guys. We're going to be undersized in pretty much every game we play from here on out. But what they do really well is they rotate defensively. They have all five guys playing defense. What happened last year a lot of times is you'd have three or four guys playing tough and somebody wouldn't rotate over. So what I mean by that is when Connor will have to go out to guard a guy who's maybe 6'8", and he'll try to get around him in front of the post is what it's called, get in front of the post and make them throw a lob pass over the top. Well, what happened a lot of times last year when we would do that, there wouldn't be anybody there to steal that pass. You know, another defender wasn't rotating over. This year that's happening a lot. They're moving a lot better defensively, and there's not these lackadaisical moments where four guys are defending hard and one idiot doesn't rotate and they get a wide open layup. So, I mean, that happened a lot last year, and Coach Tower will tell you that. But this team is just a lot more focused, and it really comes down to focus and energy on the defensive end, which they've been doing a pretty good job so far with.
And one of the key components of that team is senior forward Connor Bear. We sat down with him in studio. Take a listen.
We now welcome on senior forward Connor Bear. Connor had 23 points in the game at U.S. Bank Stadium, including 10 blocks. Unbelievable. Connor, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
What was it like playing in that kind of atmosphere? I imagine it was your first time playing in the stadium that big.
Yeah, this definitely was our first time, and it's kind of like Tommy Johnny atmosphere, you know, but obviously there's a lot more space in that kind of a arena. But it was definitely a cool experience playing there and getting a win out there, and like I said, that Tommy Johnny atmosphere kind of like resonated a little bit because all the fans were there, and it was pretty loud to be honest. But when you really start playing on that court, you kind of get zoned in a little bit because mm-hmm. there's so much light beaming down at one spot on the court, and it's just a really cool experience to be out there, you know.
Where does that game rank on your all-time favorite games played?
Oh boy,
I guess we'll do two rankings here: all-time favorite and all-time best.
Okay, my favorite game I probably play. It was, my favorite game was probably my freshman year when we won the national championship. That was just a great experience being out there in Salem, Virginia, and winning a national championship. But the best, I mean, that had to be up there. But I really like the Tommy Johnny atmospheres because you got the crowd going against you and everything. And I would have to put that a little bit over U.S. Bank Stadium, but that definitely U.S. Bank Stadium is right below that because that atmosphere is just crazy.
Where does that game rank in terms of just personal achievement with the 23 points, 10 blocks, and 5 rebounds?
I mean, yeah, I think it was a very, very big achievement for myself because, you know, playing in an atmosphere like that, big crowd, big stadium, big expectations, it's just great to have a great game like that. And I feel like there's a lot of things I needed to fix with my game before going in that game, and I feel like I showed my coaches, my teammates, and as a captain, that I can do these things and I can be a leader for our team.
A few of us were sitting on the baseline for that game, and my legs were hurting so terribly bad. But watching you just a couple times on the baseline, falling away, you had, like, no angle at the basket. You were, like, right on the baseline. You're making these jumpers all over the lane, using the glass, some of them without. It was an incredible performance to watch. You're unstoppable down there. But how much did the lights play a factor? Because they were really bright down there on the court.
Yeah, it was very bright. I mean, the moment, like, our first shoot around, the moment I stepped out there, it was like, oh, my God, like, the sun's in my eyes right now.
Yeah.
And especially when you're, for the three-point shooters, when you're on that three-point line, you look right at the rim, it's literally directly in your face, and sometimes you just got to blink a few times and just get your eyes adjusted to it. But as the game went on, I think everyone got adjusted to it pretty fast, especially with the two shoot-arounds we had beforehand.
Yeah, so you guys got a chance to shoot Thursday and Friday morning. Mm-hmm. What was kind of the setup as far as pregame? Where were you guys in terms of locker room, and how much time did you guys have out there?
So we were in I mean, there's a lot of locker rooms back behind the stadium, and we walked right past where the Vikings have their locker room, and there was just a row of like just smaller locker rooms right beside it, and we were in one of those. So we had our own locker room, our own training room, our own coach's room too, and there was a couple places like that, but that's where we had our beforehand meetings and getting dressed and everything. But it was very cool for us to run outside where the Vikings ran out too, because then, you know, it's kind of like that hurrah moment and everyone gets pumped running out of that area.
How much of a factor does the atmosphere play in any given game? Because at the end of the day, like, the court's the same size, hoops are the same height off the ground, shooting the same kind of ball. How much does the external affect your the gameplay and just kind of the attitude of the team?
I mean, being a senior, I've been kind of acclimated to that. Like, I've played through many Tommy Johnny games, but like, it's mostly for the freshmen who haven't experienced any like kind of atmosphere like that. They might have had one or two like high school games like that, but you know, like, I think it's easy for the older guys to get acclimated to that and just to hear the roar of the crowd and just being able to block it out. But I think our whole team did a really good job of doing that in our game.
Cool. Anders Nelson had 24 points in that game, and he had 24 a few nights before against McAllister. How exciting is it to see a first-year player like him kind of explode offensively as he has?
Yeah, I mean, I've never really seen anything like that. I think that kind of performance shows a lot for where he's going throughout his career and the rest of his St. Thomas career, yeah, basketball career. And I just love the things he's doing right now, assisting, scoring, getting a few rebounds here and there. And I'm just excited for the guy, and I really hope he keeps that up for the rest of the season because we need him. He's a big part of our team.
Yeah, he's helped the offense quite a bit, and he's a pretty good defender. There was a few times in that game on Friday that I think he had six turnovers, and he was blocked a few times trying to mm-hmm. force it into the lane a couple of times. Was there any moment in the game where you just had to kind of slow him down and just like, hey, just get the ball inside, you know, just let me go to work?
Yeah, I mean, we tell him that, and he tells us too. He's like, hey, guys, like, if I'm doing anything, like, make sure you get on me and stuff. So we try to get on him for that. But I think he's definitely done a better job of controlling that kind of aspect of the game.
Is there any animosity between maybe some of the older guys on the team that are maybe a little mad or a little jealous that a freshman is playing so well and getting so many minutes?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think everyone on our team is very happy for what he's doing and how he's helping our program and how we're winning games right now. So, like, as long as he keeps doing that, I think the whole team will be fine with that.
So shifting gears now from like the individual game to the season, Ben's basketball is off to a torrid start right now. Looking here, 4-1 overall, only one game played in the conference so far, but you know, undefeated, one of the top teams in the MIAC. Definitely a much different start than last year's squad. What's changed in the year since y'all had that? It was kind of a slow season to start off.
I mean, I think every first game we have is always going to be a little slow, and then we ended up losing that game by one. But I think this year we're really trying to get focused on being fast-paced offense, shooting a lot of threes, and just getting up and down on teams and wearing them out because we have a deep bench. And I think we're doing a good job of that right now. And after the first couple of games, there were a few issues with, like, who should be taking shots, how should we be moving the ball on offense. And I think now that we have a good idea of, like, getting the ball inside before doing anything else, that really helped out our offensive play, and then I think if we play offense like that, defensively we'll be fine.
One of the you've graduated several great players for the last couple of years. I think most notably this season is you're playing without Ryan Bull, and this team really doesn't have a traditional center, a traditional big man. What have been kind of the adjustments that you've made losing a guy like Ryan? And is it harder? Is it weird to play without kind of that traditional center role?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, Ryan was a scorer and a rebounder, and now that he's gone, it's kind of – and right now I'm not doing a very good job of it. I do need to step it up, but we need to do a better job of getting rebounds. And it's tough that Ryan left because he was a big boarder, and he was just grabbing them left and right. But I think our coaches burned something into our brain, saying, like, it doesn't matter what size you are, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a guard, if you're a big, you should all be going after the ball, and I think we're doing a good job of that right now. But it's definitely a loss that we're for Ryan Bull, but I think we're acclimated pretty well, and I think with our deep bench, we do a pretty good job with that.
I'm looking at the box score from Friday night's game, and Anders Nelson was the leading rebounder with seven rebounds. What is that about?
I think that's a fluke. I don't know.
Smallest guy on the court gets the most rebounds. Talking about the offense a little bit, last year you mentioned the offense didn't really flow very well last year at times. It would get kind of stagnant. Ryan would have to go one-on-one at times, and you would do the same. This year the team seems much more – just seems to flow a lot better. How much do you think that can be attributed to the off-season trip to – where'd you guys go again?
Costa Rica,
and then to New York a couple weeks ago.
I mean, that trip was very, very beneficial for us because for the past – when they do this every 3 years, and for the past other years they went, they've only got to play one or two games. We got to play five games. So it was good definitely getting a lot of games in there and getting our guys, like, used to each other and how we should play together and everything. But it was different out there, and I think we learned more about our game and how to play together when we got back, because out there was just a little weird with how they play and how the refs ref and everything. But it's definitely good to get out there and just, you know, play with each other for because you don't get a lot of opportunities before games just start coming rapid fire,
especially in the middle of summer,
right?
The men's basketball team over the past I don't know how many years has been really, really successful. I mean, you mentioned your freshman year winning the national championship, have had just a legacy of postseason after postseason after postseason appearance. You mentioned that this team is off to a bit of a quicker start than last year. What else separates this squad from last year's squad, and how are you going to add? How is this team looking to add to the men's basketball legacy?
I think from the difference from last year to this year, I mean, last year we were trying to be more fast-paced, but I think this year we're even more fast-paced. I think that's what's carrying our offense. If we can get our bigs to run the floor and beat their bigs down the floor and beat them on defense and all that kind of stuff, I think it's going to be very beneficial to us to be winning basketball games. And I just hope we can keep that up, because we have a deep bench, and I'd like to keep that deep bench. We just got to make sure we don't injure each other. So,
you guys are a little bit smaller than the other MIAC teams, right, with you and GT probably being the two biggest guys. What are you, right around 6'4"?
6'5".
Okay.
GT 6'4". Yeah.
Okay. 6'5". So I mean, it's a little undersized for you. Don't play center, but you're more of a forward. You're the biggest guy in the starting lineup. You think that gives you an advantage to run and play the kind of style of basketball that Tower likes to play?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of teams out there who have true bigs, and we're like one of the only teams who kind of really doesn't.
Yeah.
So he's kind of burning into our brains, like, hey, run the floor. I don't care how tired you get. We'll get a sub into you in a few minutes. Just keep running the floor on these guys.
Yeah, and the biggest thing with that kind of style is on defense, you got to get in front of the post and have somebody on the backside helping. They did a pretty good job. I think it was Julian Jackson. You guys did a pretty good job on him, getting doubles when you needed to when they got the ball. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing I see.
Right.
Tonight you guys got Bethel. A team that was pretty good last year. You guys went 1-1 against them in the regular season. But what's the scouting report on the Bethel Royals this year?
These guys, I mean, they're all scorers. They're all looking to score, but they like to play their starting five the whole game. So if we, just like I was just talking about, if we can get our guys running the floor, wearing them out, having them to put in their backups, which they don't like to do, then I think we'll get a good win.
Yeah, they go through Jack Jensen. He's averaging 18 points a game, but you mentioned they don't play many guys. They are a pretty limited team. If you could slow him down, it'll be interesting to see what Coach Tower does to slow him down. Maybe a little full court pressure like we saw. Yep. We saw a lot of that last year. Haven't seen much of it.
It's kind of off and on. I mean, he would like the full court press, but if we're playing that style offense, like running up and down, I mean, you got to give us a little break at some point. Can't be pressing the whole game.
Let's talk a little bit about just the outlook on the season here. With about maybe a third, less than a third of the way done here, what's kind of the outlook on the MIAC in terms of St. John's is pretty good. They took care of Bethel pretty bad. I think they beat them 90-55 a couple of days ago.
Really?
What's kind of the look on the MIAC this year?
I mean, for us and our team's mindset, we think it's wide open. I mean, we know that last year Bethel lost a guy.
Riley Deering was there a pretty
and
good
then
player.
Augsburg lost a really good player, Olmscheid, and then St. John's lost a really good player. And all those players happen to be bigs and posts, so that makes my job a little easier. So I think it's kind of wide open. I think we're very capable of winning a conference championship again. Mm-hmm. And I just hope we can just keep up our good play we're having right now.
Do you know you guys were picked fourth in the conference?
Yeah.
Was there a little chip on the shoulder coming into the season?
Yeah, it was a big chip on the shoulder. It did.
I mean, you win 12 straight conference titles, the Tommies did. Last year, you didn't get a conference title, and then the next year, they're picking you to finish fourth. I mean, what is that? I mean, this is a pretty good team still, especially with honors coming in, a good recruiting class.
I think last year just kind of screwed a little thing, screwed some things up. But I'm very confident in our team this year, and I think we'll get it done.
Cool.
Conference season is just starting. Y'all have only played one game so far. You're mentioning kind of the atmosphere of Tommy Johnny. Are there any other games you're looking forward to? I mean, anytime we ask a coach, any coach for any team, they're always saying, well, the next game is the one I'm most looking forward to. We've had a little bit of better luck asking that to players. And Tommy Johnny for any sport is a fun one. Is there one other one that you're looking forward to coming down the pipeline?
You know, I'm looking forward to this game tonight, but I like playing away. I like to hear in the crowd, like hearing the opposing team's crowd just kind of chirp a little bit. So I like the away games, and especially at Bethel, Augsburg, St. John's. I mean, I think those are the three big schools that we always look forward to, not only because they're fans, but because of their program too. They're really good basketball teams, and it's always fun to play these.
Yeah, Bethel fans travel pretty well.
Yeah, they do.
They'll make it over here when we play them. Mm-hmm. It'll be fun to watch. Producer question?
Yeah. So we've got a tradition here on Keep the Ball Rolling where Althea, our producer, will ask a recurring question to all of our guests. We've kept a running tally over the season. So Althea, go ahead and take it away.
Yeah. So we're going to bring it back to 2014 when the Packers faced the Cowboys in the NFC divisional game. Yes. We like to ask, did Dez catch it?
I think he does catch it.
Thank you. I think he catches it.
Another one for the
That's
Bucks.
11-1. 11 people have said yes that he should catch it. Only Matt Mitchell from the football team said no.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Everyone else, we've had Dave Lee, Coach Caruso, Nick Waldvogel, Mark Dowdle. Everybody we've asked has said yes except for
Michael Hanna.
Yeah, Michael Hanna said yes as well. Clearly a catch.
Yeah, I think it's a catch too, and I'd like to give it to him because I'm not a Packers fan at all.
Connor, thanks for coming in. We'll get you out of here. Good luck tonight.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And that was Connor Bear, senior forward. Busy night for him as they'll take on the Royals tonight at 7 o'clock at home. Noah, let's talk a little D3 football. The Tommy's been out of it for a couple weeks now. It feels like the season's been over for months, but football's still happening.
Yeah, we've got 2 weeks left. We've got the semifinal round coming up now on the, I guess, not the Western. It's the left half of the bracket. I don't really know how they divide it up. Okay. So one game we've got is Mary Hardin-Baylor versus Wisconsin-Whitewater, and the other semifinal game is Mount Union versus Johns Hopkins. And I think, other than Johns Hopkins, I think all three of those were to be expected. I mean, mm-hmm. Mount Union and Mary Hardin-Baylor are the two perennial contenders that year in and year out are going to be competing for a national title. And Wisconsin-Whitewater also. Several of the Wisconsin and the WIAC schools are really good. So I think all three of those are to be expected.
And the Wisconsin schools have made some deep runs in the last couple of years. But I want to talk quickly about the Mary Hardin-Baylor-St. John's game last week. It was a 21-18 game that Mary Hardin-Baylor won on their home turf where the Tommies lost a season ago at this time. St. John's had the ball. I was reading a little bit on the post-game story. St. John's had the ball, and they were driving late in the game, and they threw a pick in the end zone. Mary Hardin-Baylor intercepts the ball in the end zone to win the game and punch their ticket to the national semifinal. So a heartbreaking loss for our friends up north in Collegeville.
Yeah, 21-18, and I go back and forth on the idea of who to root for in the postseason when your team doesn't make it, mm-hmm. and particularly when one of the teams who is in is your rival. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I want to root for our rivals because if we lost to them, I want to lose to the best.
Right.
But at the same time, it's your rivals, and you don't want to see
right.
it.
Right.
I think with that, though, St. John's, I've developed a newfound appreciation for St. John's just as a school and as an athletic program over the last couple of years here. And I think it would have been really cool to see a MIAC school make it, whether it be St. John's or Bethlehem. I think St. John's had the best chance. Mm-hmm. And a loss like that it doesn't matter who you root for, who your team is, who you don't like. That just sucks. Yeah. That is so deflating for any sort of school. But it was a well-fought game. 21-18, limiting one of the best offenses in Division III to 21 points. St. John's has got to be proud of the season that they had.
Yeah, and Mary Hart and Baylor take on Whitewater. To get to that game, Whitewater took out Bethel. It was a 26-12 win. Not quite as close of a game, not a heartbreaking loss for Bethel. But now you look at this semifinal match between Whitewater and Hardin-Baylor, two pretty good teams going at it, and they will likely take on Mount Union in the finals. Noah, so this is going to be our bet of the week. Who are you taking?
And this is our final bet of the season,
yeah,
too.
True.
Next week is going to be our last show, so we won't do a bet for that one. So, Brady, if you win this one, I think we're tied for the season. I'm 3-2 right now. You're 2-3, so we've got a lot on the line here.
There's a lot of pressure.
And Althea is going for a perfect 6-0 on the season.
I would like to argue that I have the most pressure going on right now.
I don't know.
Could be.
To get with
could be.
Perfect.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Pursuit perfection.
But you got to find competition in all the little places, and so I don't want to lose to Brady. Or I don't want to tie Brady. Mm-hmm. I can solidly get a two-game lead or a two-bet lead over Brady here. So at risk of being that guy, I'm going to play it safe, and I'm going to take Mary Hardin-Baylor on this one.
Perennial
contender. They beat St. Thomas last year, just consistently in and out. A really, really good, well-rounded team. Their defense, one of the best. Offense is pretty darn good, too. I'm gonna stick with Mary Hardin-Baylor. We'll throw in an extra $2 if you get a right score or within, like, a field goal.
Sure.
Cool. I'm going to say 27-14, Mary Hardin-Baylor.
Okay. So I got Whitewater. I'm taking the boys in Wisconsin out of the WIAC. They haven't been there. I think they missed the playoffs the last two seasons. They get back in, and now they're back to the national semifinals. I'm taking the boys from Wisconsin, and we'll take them with a 21-17
okay
win in Texas at their home at Mary Hardin-Baylor's home stadium. And then the championship game will be the first time it's played in Texas. So Hardin-Baylor have a chance to play a home, not really a home, but a home state national championship game if they can make it.
I appreciate your confidence in your bet, Brady. But when St. Thomas went to play Mary Hardin-Baylor, we sent one of our exec team members, Carolyn Meyer, last year. Mm-hmm. And she and I were talking about the atmosphere throughout that game, and she said that was probably one of the rowdiest places she's been. And Texas fans love their football. It doesn't matter if it's Pop Warner or NFL. Any level, they're going to go absolutely nuts. And that is such a hard place to play, and particularly for teams up north, I've realized. And so yeah. I think as much as I appreciate your confidence, as much as I love you as a person, Brady, I think you're just dead wrong on this one.
Well, we'll see you on Saturday.
So Althea, comes down to you. 5-0, your perfect record is on the line. Who do you pick, Mary Hardin-Baylor or Wisconsin Whitewater?
I think I'm going to have to go with Baylor on this one.
There we go.
I think Whitewater's going to choke.
Thank you. See,
not
she knows what she's talking about.
Not a very bold pick.
Do you just want to pay me now then?
We'll wait. We're going to wait. I'm predicting an upset for my boys from Wisconsin.
All right. Well, we will see what happens over the weekend. And until then, that's all we've got for you here on Keep the Ball Rolling. For Althea Larson and Brady Haldmeier, I'm Noah Brown. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.